23rd, 7:01 p.m. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Wiegold.
Here.
Ward.
Here.
Romine.
Here.
Penrod.
Here.
Simpson.
Here.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting, which was on September 8th. Only three of you can actually vote on this, but you'll review those and if there's any changes or corrections. Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
I second.
Okay. Motion by Nicole. Preference given to the female, so seconded by Jackie. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. Nicole and Bill and Jackie approve, and the other two abstain. Okay, as an FYI, for Trick or Treat, the Board of Works approved the night of Halloween, October 31st, from 6 to 8 p.m. is Trick or Treat. So I will be putting a press release tomorrow.
Okay.
It's going to look very, very similar to last year's. but I know the fire department is doing glow sticks and candy. Tim, are you guys doing glow sticks for trick or treat?
No, we're patrolling.
You're patrolling, okay.
We'll have the tattoos and pencils and things like that.
Okay. So obviously, we're going to caution individuals out that night to stay aware. Okay. Very good. Questions about that? Next up, Mr. Sewell is here from the Building and Planning Department. So,
is that microphone on?
Yes.
It is. Very good. So we'll turn it over to Mr. Sewell.
All right. Thank you. We have...
First up is the comp plan.
Okay.
Just so you know.
All right. This evening we have two items that have been referred to the Common Council from the Planning Commission. Both of them refer to the same property, just two separate documents. The first item is an amendment that the Plan Commission has made to the comprehensive plan. And we have included in the information sent over to you the proposed wording for the housing element to be added to the comprehensive plan, as well as a change in the land use from industrial to medium density residential on the future land use plan that is a part of the comprehensive plan. So it's kind of a two-phase change to the comprehensive plan. This is at the request of and the input of the developer who is proposing to rehabilitate the Bluebell building. That's right. All I could think of was Wrangler building, but that's not the Bluebell building. Yeah. They are proposing to request a tax credit program through the state, and one of the requirements is that the comprehensive plan kind of match their proposal. So hence the purpose for the change in the land use plan to medium density residential, as well as adding some additional wording in the comp plan for a housing element to encourage rehabilitation of historic structures, as well as provide additional senior housing. So I think I've included a proposed resolution for your approval that has established what is required by the state statutes.
Okay. Thank you. So in front of you is resolution number 2014-18. I'll kind of talk a little bit more later or here in a moment, but can I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Ben, seconded by Dan. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Please read resolution number 2014-18 by title only.
Resolution 2014-18, a resolution adopting the 2014 amendment to the Columbia City Comprehensive Plan.
So, Gavin, it's been, what, 2.5 or 3 months, I think, since we met, maybe, something like that? Maybe a little. Yeah. And Kevin is here from the Commonwealth Companies, and so the developer, if you will. So when Jeff and I and Kevin met with Mr. Sewell, we discussed the Bluebell building and what they have to what they're planning on doing in our community in a very blighted structure that has had vacancy for 5 to 10 years, I know at least. So, and as a part of the program, and Mr. Sewell did discuss this a little bit, but as a part of the program and the tax credits that the company is going after, we will be a partner in some way, shape, or form for that process. One of the partnership requirements is to make sure that our comprehensive plan matches up to what the requirements of the tax credit program is. And so that's why this is being brought in front of you. Are there any questions about this? Okay, hearing none, can I have a motion to approve resolution number 2014-18 on first reading?
I make a motion to approve resolution 2014-18 on first reading.
Okay, just as a clarification, resolutions are one pass, right? Okay, thank you.
Yes.
So I have a
second.
Motion and a second. Motion by Ben, seconded by Nicole. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Mr. Sewell.
Good, thank you. The second item is also related to this property, 3.627 acres, southeast corner of South Whitley Street and East Ellsworth Street. It is a recommendation from the Columbia City Plan Commission to rezone the property from its current I-1 light industrial district zoning to the R3 multifamily residential district. The Planning Commission held a public hearing on this on the 8th of September and received favorable comments from the members of the general public and the immediate neighborhood. They voted to send a favorable recommendation to the council on this request. And again, you know that Kevin is here from Commonwealth to describe the project, give any further comments.
Okay, so I'll turn it over to Kevin if you want to talk about the project and what the plan is and why this zoning change is needed.
All right. So I'm Kevin McDonald, Vice President of Development with Commonwealth. I'll give you a little bit of background on Commonwealth. We're started in 2001 by Louis Lang, who's still our president and owner. He's very actively involved in the in all of our projects and intimately involved in every detail. So it's nice to have the guy who's back in the company helping make all those decisions. So, but we've completed 31 similar projects throughout Wisconsin. We also have a project under development in Texas and one in Oklahoma. Out of our Dallas office, and so basically we are primarily a tax credit developer with a focus on historic preservation. So a good number of the projects, while not all, have been historic preservation projects. So we're particularly excited about the possibility of rehabbing the Bluebell factory with the significance that it's had throughout the community. While the structure is significantly blighted, we do feel that the potential is very strong for the rehab. Basically, what our proposal is to keep the existing shell of the building, preserving all the brick and everything like that. Some of the wood floors we will be able to preserve. Unfortunately, there's some significant leaks in the roof. The owner is currently working to fix that as we speak, but so we'll save what we can, but and that's also part of the historic process that we We've just submitted our application on today. We have to get approval on what the state and what the federal government will allow us to do to keep the historic integrity of the building. So in general, what our proposal is we are proposing 35 units of parking stalls in the lower level. All of our community space will be down there as well. At this point, we definitely know we're going to have a property management office that will be staffed full-time. We'll also have a fitness center, and we're also looking at doing something like a we'll have a community space. We may be doing like a movie theater in the lower level as well. We'll have some additional storage for each of the units as well. But right now on the top two floors, our proposal includes 48 two-bedroom senior apartments and four one-bedroom senior apartments. The average square footage is going to be about 1,000 square feet. Obviously, the two-bedroom's bigger than the one-bedroom's, but they'll actually be pretty close in size. So the features in the units, we're going to have obviously nice big windows as are currently in the building. As I mentioned, preserving the wood floors where we can. You know, we'll have some exposed brick in the units, hopefully I invite you guys to look at our website and see some of the other historic preservation projects that we've done. I'll give you guys my card so you can find the website. These projects that we do with the historic tax credits that we get, the equity really allows us to build a very high quality product, and it ends up being as nice, if not nicer, than a lot of the new construction apartments you'll see in the market. So I think with that, I'll open it up for questions.
I want to talk a little bit about the parking situation, because obviously looking at, 50-some units in there, up to, I think it's a max of 65, but up to 52 units, or 52 units, where parking, how you're addressing parking.
Yeah, so, I should have mentioned that. The 35 units are going to be in the lower level, so it'll be like underground parking. And then we'll have 17 garages, as we showed on the site plan here. So the garages are going to run closest to Ellsworth Street. So we're going to have a 5-unit garage structure there and a 12-unit garage structure next to that. And then we'll have an additional 34 surface parking spaces. So I'm glad you brought that up, because I should have highlighted that that will be an exception to the code. Currently, I believe it's 2 parking stalls per unit. However, we see in a lot of the communities for senior, the requirements are oftentimes 1 to 1.5. We see that 1.5 is typically well over sufficient. But, I think right now we're at 86. So I think the number's like 1.65 parking stalls per unit is where we're at. So we feel strongly about that number, but there is some potential opportunities in the future to add to that number if you guys feel that's necessary. But we're very comfortable with where it's at.
Questions for the council?
There's some property on the other side of Whitley Street that belongs to that property in there?
Yes. We are technically our offer to purchase does not include that parcel. However, the current owner has expressed that he wants to include that into it, so we need to amend our offer to purchase on that. And at the same time, he's allowed us to rezone that parcel as well. So it's still questionable if what we're going to do with that parcel. So I haven't included it in our site plan. It currently isn't really involved in our plans. At the last plan commission meeting, we did mention that maybe there'd be a potential to donate that parcel to the city. I don't know if they'd be interested in doing a park or something. That's something that was brought up that we still haven't really discussed, because we are, we just finalize their unit count and what parking is going to be, but it's something that, you know, we want to explore in the next couple of weeks to a month here. So.
Okay. Other questions? I will say, after our last council meeting, I zipped over to the Planning Commission meeting, and there was a group standing outside. I did get to talk to some of the citizens, and Mr. Sewell's absolutely right. There was a lot of excitement from those individuals. You know, with these kind of projects, sometimes it gets a little touchy because there's that's bringing a lot of people into a confined space there. But I think a lot of those residents are just excited to see that property be developed into something that's beautiful, that's going to end up increasing their property values. And in general, it's going to be a good place to kind of bring that community together. As you'll note in the notes as a part of the packet, you'll see that I sent a letter to the Planning Commission urging their approval of this. I do believe that the property is well placed for this type of zoning, with general business being on one side, residential one being on another, and of course with the cemetery being there too. So I think it is well placed for this zoning, and unless anybody has any other questions or comments.
I think the residents are thrilled. I think they were worried about what kind of housing, but I think that they're thrilled that it's going to be senior housing.
I concur. Okay. Thank you, Gavin. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
David, any last thoughts?
No.
Okay. So can I have a motion to read ordinance number 2014-19 by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jackie, seconded by Ben. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Please read ordinance number 2014-19 by title only.
Ordinance 2014-19, an ordinance amending the zoning classification of certain property from the I-1 light industrial district to the R-3 multifamily residential district.
I did have one thought that came up. And I think we've talked about this, but just for the clarity for the council, does this have to go in front of BZA because it's above the unit number?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and Kevin has filed
okay
for the BZA hearing for that. It's a slight increase in density for the amount of square footage per family
okay
that the R3 district allows. Mm-hmm. That has been filed. Also, a variance on the parking space.
Okay. So it just popped up. So I just wanted to make sure you all knew that we're not necessarily the last step. You know, this is obviously a needed step. So if there's no other questions or comments, then can I have a motion to approve on an emergency basis, I'm assuming, ordinance number 2014-19 as presented?
Second.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Bill. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Anything else, Mr. Sewell?
That's it.
Okay, thank you for being here.
Thanks,
Kevin. We'll keep working on the multiple tasks that we're working on, so thank you. Okay. Next up is... back over to your seat. Next up is amendment to the traffic ordinance. Kelly, I'll let you kind of explain a little bit.
Yeah, out of Cambridge Crossing, new subdivision going in off of 109. Generally, all these subdivisions are 20 mile an hour speed limits. I'm just going to get those two streets listed in the 20 mile an hour ordinance so we can get signs put up.
Okay. So, on that note, can I have a motion to read ordinance number 2014-20 by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Ben, seconded by Nicole. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Please read ordinance number 2014-20 by title only.
Ordinance 2014-20, an ordinance amending Chapter 75, Traffic Schedules of Title 7. Of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Columbia City, Indiana.
Anybody have any questions, comments, or concerns about this? Hearing none, could I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jackie, seconded by Dan. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. We'll move that to second reading. Okay. You guys can stay or you can go either way. We're going to have a good long discussion, I think. Well, hopefully it's not long, but about sewer rates. So thank you for being here. You can stick out, whatever you want to do. Okay, so in front of you is a proposal. Rosie and I have been worked on this a little bit. And as we talked to our rate consultant, we did want to kind of make sure that it's understood that across the board there's going to be a certain percentage increase as a part of this. So it's not just a flat, as we've said before, it wouldn't just be a flat 765. It would be percentages based on, obviously, your consumption. One of the comments that we had in the public hearing was regarding a certain very large company that's on our system. They would be paying substantially more a month than they currently are based on that percentage increase. But let me walk through the proposal. I'll say it's something for you to digest and talk about. If you want to take some action tonight, you certainly could potentially do that. If you want to wait and take action at the next meeting, that's fine. Ultimately, kind of the next step is formalize it. We'll certainly have to publicize it, have a public hearing about it, all of that kind of stuff. If you want this done by the end of the year, we probably need to pass it or at least get it moving by next meeting. Okay. So, let me talk about some different things here. Obviously, all the dollar amounts that were reflected are an average customer of 4,000 gallons. Percentages are same across the board. Rosie and I, and as we talked and looked at this, there was a couple of things that we're suggesting. The first thing is eliminating the area connection fees. The next is raising the sewer tap fees for most meter sizes, and then keeping the flat rate where it's at. Okay, so let me talk about each of those real quick. I don't really think I need to talk much more about 765. You're probably sick and tired of me talking about that, so I'm not really going to go much into that any more than we already have. However, the elimination of the area connection fees is an important part of this. As we've added territory in the past, whether it's through forced or unforced annexation, whether it's for extension of water and sewer lines outside of the outside of our territory, if you will, there have been area connection fees. So, for instance, Westgate, Tanglewood, they pay an area connection fee. For Lincoln Point out on basically on US 30, they pay an area connection fee. And what that is they take, and Rosie, I'm probably going to lean on you a little bit for this, but basically what they do is when they extend a service out to a certain location, they take all the parcels in that area, they divide the cost of extending that infrastructure by those parcels. Okay. Now, when you look at the different places where we have area connection fees, again, I bring up Westgate as an example. Westgate has been a part of the city for a couple of decades now. We have had very little activity regarding area connection fees. I think one way in which we can encourage some of those flat rate customers to join our system and pay based on usage is to eliminate this fee. Rosie, I want to give you an opportunity to kind of say some things here. I don't know if you have anything else to add to what I've said, but you have some history on this more than I do. But
yeah, and the mayor's right. What he's saying is how we came up with a figure to not only they pay a tap fee, but they also pay an area connection fee to try to make up for that expense. There's been people that really wanted to hook up, but they just couldn't afford paying the area connection fee, paying a contractor, and paying a tap fee. And so they just still haven't hooked up. But there's some that are like $2,900, some are $1,000, some are $300 an acre, some are $1,000 an acre. And the mayor can vouch for me, I have a book this big.
Yes.
I have to keep track of all these mm-hmm. when somebody wants to come in. And we've pretty much made up, I don't know that we'll ever make up all of it, but made up all the money back on all the expense we've had. And when we talk, it's just something that we've talked about for years, and about doing away with these area connection fees, and everybody pays just a flat
tap fee,
just like they do for water.
So, yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, so as you can see, like with the last line I put on there was, certainly it kind of eliminates the confusion. There's been times where people come in and say, well, you know, how much do I have to pay to connect or whatever the case may be? And again, sometimes it's a couple thousand, sometimes it's a couple hundred. It just is all over the board. And I think it's maybe it's time for us to eliminate that and incur and kind of take away one of the maybe potential barriers for people joining our system in that regard. And again, we're talking minuscule numbers wise for losses in that regard. Finally, raising the tap fees. Right now, sewer tap fees are really half of the price of what our water tap fees are. Water tap fees are currently $1,000. Our sewer tap fees are currently $500. So I think naturally it makes sense that we raise those tap fees from $500 to $1,000. As you can tell, based on the meter size, some go up, some don't change, and one size goes down. But as we kind of look at the different sizes, we're talking about, you know, obviously, if you're going to have more than a 5/8 inch tap, you're going to be more than just a normal size home. And obviously, going all the way up to a 4 inch tap would be, you know, obviously like an SDI or something like that. So you're going to have a large charge for that. So that's kind of the suggestion. The only reason that the 3 inch went down, and Rosie helped me on this too, but the only reason the 3 inch meter size tap went down or are proposing to go down is because that actually is pretty high comparatively speaking. So incrementally we're looking at how we compare and then finally again open to discussion after kind of describe this, but finally keep the flat rate payers at 55-55. Basically this rate is really hard to quantify because you have some individuals that are on this flat rate. Rosie and I were discussing all the different ways you could be on a flat rate. There's kind of three different situations that are abnormal to the normal user who has water and sewer. Okay, so you have option one where you have water, but you don't have sewer. Okay, your sewer usage is based on your water usage in that regard. Okay, so they're not on the flat fee. But there's two other scenarios they are on the flat fee. Either A, they don't have water or sewer, but are within 300 feet of our sewer line and have to pay whether they're connected or not, whether they're discharging or not. So that's one situation. The other situation is if they are connected to our sewer but are not connected to our water, they're paying the regular fee. They're paying the 55-55. So the flat rate is really hard to quantify when you think about, you know, there are some customers that aren't discharging at all into that system and are paying the flat rate because the state mandates that. There are some customers that are using the minimum of 2,000 gallons and are paying basically double what they would normally pay being a part of that. And then you have other individuals that, of course, are probably discharging more than what the, you know, 55-55 is. But 55-55, just so I'm clear, is more than what we charge the average user for 4,000 gallons, correct? So just so you know, it's a little over 4,000 gallons is what we're ending up charging them. So that was one place that we thought it kind of makes sense to keep it where it is. That's a suggestion that we have. But those are some of the comments we have. I think if we're going to do this, we need to do it in a comprehensive way. And so that's why the proposal is comprehensive. So I'm open to discussions about that. If you'd like to take it home and digest it for the next 2 weeks or whatever it is till our next meeting, that's fine too. But wanted to bring it up so that you knew that we're starting to get kind of on a bit of a crunch if we want this to be enacted next year. So, thoughts?
So was there any research into whether or not people could prepay like the Lakes districts have done?
I will say that is on my agenda, so I apologize I've not been able to get to that yet. However, I know that in talking after that meeting, Mike and I talked a little bit about the difference in systems. Their system out there is a lagoon-type system, which is very, very different from ours. Not that that really negates what could happen or couldn't happen, but I just want to make sure it's clear that the reason that their rate is where it is versus ours, we have a mechanical system, they have a lagoon system. Obviously, cities are under certain guidelines and a little bit more strict when it comes to the mechanical system. So I am going to check into that. It's on my list. I have to apologize. I've not done that yet. So.
But that's kind of irrelevant to the whole, this whole thing, right? Or
what do you mean?
I mean, if we decide to do that at a later date, it doesn't necessarily change this. Or does it?
Unless that was a part of the actual increase proposal.
Okay.
I mean, if that was something that you wanted to put as a part of your ordinance, then it would matter. But if it was something you wanted to enact, let's say, later and as a new ordinance and say, okay, well, in 2016, we're going to go up to $6, but if individuals prepay now at the, you know, I don't know, $12 rate, then the next two rate increases, they're locked in. I don't know. I can't say that I've heard of that in municipalities, but I do need to still check with Umbaugh, and actually we'll also check with Crone's office with Buzz to find out if he's heard of things like that for municipalities. So.
Yeah, I think that would be, I mean, like out there, they have one thing, sewage. I mean, I think that'd be a bookkeeping nightmare, trying to keep track of all that, for all the customers that we have.
I think it would, too.
I'm just saying.
It was brought up. I think we need to at least look into it and see if it's
And I completely agree, Ben, and I will take the responsibility for not doing that. So.
I think the other thing, Mayor, was they brought up make SDI paying more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as we and it was brought up about SDI paying more, we do have an agreement with SDI. Nicole and I actually talked about this on the side, but we do have an agreement with SDI when they came in. Part of the reason they came in was because we kind of locked them in. They have, as a part of the agreement, they're, and I'm just using them as an example, but very large users like SDI. Their rate can increase at the same percentage as the rest of the population's rate. That is a part. That is what the contract says. It cannot go more than more percentage-wise than what the average customer goes up. So that's why I put the percentages in here for the rate increase. So for the first year, $7, which translates into 14%. And I know percentage gets a little scary, but just for some. For instance there, you know, obviously that means that the large utility user rates would also go up 14%. So for those that are paying, you know, now paying $57 as a resident, those companies can be paying hundreds, even thousands more every month. So so in that regard, I think, if I remember right, there was Rosie did a little calculation. And it was talking about thousands of dollars of increase for our large users. So it's not going to hit anybody lightly, let's say it that way. And I think there was maybe a misnomer that that the high-end companies aren't paying their fair share. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that that's the case. So
they just get a bulk discount.
Say what?
So they just get a bulk rate discount.
After a million gallons. After a million. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, other questions about this? Thoughts? You want to take it home, mull it over? I will say I did do a little bit of checking into other communities. Not much has changed at all from the schedule that you were provided by Umbaugh. I'll do a little bit more checking, but everything I was seeing looked like it. Nothing had changed. So. Okay, cool. You want to know about the Quessy area?
Well, is that something we're going to have to notify them people with as well, or is that something?
No, because they're not rate payers right now.
Well, I mean, it looks like that's going to happen in the future.
Yeah, and I mean, that is completely a county project. I mean, certainly they're connecting to our system, but as for the actual infrastructure and all that stuff, that is a county project. I can't tell you much more about that. I know... Jeff, I think were you in discussions about that? I mean, were you a part of those discussions?
I couldn't hear Dan at all.
Okay, that's okay. I'm sorry. Quessy?
Okay.
Were you a part of those discussions at the county level, or just kind of
before
cursory?
I went to the commissioners, I was during the presentation and approval of moving forward, I wasn't.
Yeah. So the article was probably a surprise to a lot of you. Some of that information was surprising to me too. It doesn't mean that it's not a bad thing. It's something we've talked about for a while. We know that there's a problem out there. It makes a lot of logical sense for them to connect to our system since it's there. But I'm not sure. Outside users pay a different rate for sewage, Rosie? Outside users pay a different rate for sewage? No. I thought they paid different. Okay, it doesn't matter. Anyways, long story short, what? Oh, no, that's okay. I thought that's what we went to the IURC about last year.
Yeah, because they said we couldn't charge.
Oh, it was over. Well, I thought we got grandfathered in. Anyways, the point is that if they do get connected to our system, they'll pay at least what our citizens pay. So
if we put this off to the next meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but what if we want to do something tonight? What are we looking at doing tonight? Voting on this?
Okay.
Actually voting on this, or just saying we want to move forward?
If you want to move forward tonight, what I would request from you is to get a general sense of yes, that we can start preparing. By we, I really mean Rosie and Marcia and whoever else is involved, to prepare the ordinance and to prepare all the steps that need to be in place. Obviously, like I said, there'll still have to be a public hearing. There'll still have to be two readings of the ordinance, all of that kind of stuff. But if we get a kind of a yes from you all that we need to start moving forward and putting the documents together, then we can. I don't know if we'd have the public hearing at the next meeting or the second.
No.
Second. Okay.
I think you have a first reading of the ordinance and then the public hearing.
Then the public hearing at the next meeting and then a second reading. Probably. Okay. So. That's what. If we're going to move forward, that's what I would ask tonight.
Will that take care of what the best suggestion is? Is after you evaluate those possibilities?
Yeah, absolutely.
We can go ahead and approve this, but then we're also going to be asking.
Ask another question. Figure out other.
Come up with a, if that's even possible.
Yeah, and I can find that information out. This week is a really good week to do research, so I can certainly find that information out and bring it to your attention as soon as possible.
Well, I feel like we've discussed it, and I feel like we have to do something, so I'd like to move forward.
Okay, with the 765 plan?
Yes.
Okay. As presented?
As presented.
Okay. Bill?
How long has the flat rate been 55-55?
That was changed.
The last time the sewer ordinance was done?
I know, it was right before you guys came into office. Some residents out there was upset on the Lincoln Way East about the price of it. And so we did go back in and lower it because it was higher than that, which I could probably look back in here and find it. But I'm thinking it was maybe, do you remember, Jeff, when that was?
I think it was
right before.
I know Cooks were one up, but was complaining.
Yeah,
but I
don't want to mention name, but yeah, they were here and they complained. And so we went back in, and I believe it was, I can probably tell you, 2009, when they changed.
Which is, I think, about the same time we did our last sewer rate increase, wasn't it? I think it's been 5 years since we've done our last sewer rate increase. We did a stormwater increase prior to this administration coming in, but that was 09 as well.
I mean, I understand the difficulty in flat rates and how those people fall into it, but it just intuitively seems fair that if we're going to raise the rates to our citizens, that we should raise the rates to all the users, whether they're flat rate users or, for lack of a better term, metered users, that the same rate increase takes place so that everybody's being treated the same.
Okay.
That's.
So your suggestion would be to raise that rate at the same percentage as what all the other customers are being raised?
Yes.
Okay. Opinions, thoughts, counsel?
I think there should be a rate increase on the flat rate, too.
Okay. At that same percentage?
9%. If you would raise that rate, mm-hmm. and someone would really be upset about it, there's a way they could go about that, and that is put a meter on their well. Then we could judge how much water they're putting down the sewer.
Interesting.
Well, if we raised it, you said right now that rate is higher than like a meter.
That the 55.55 is higher than the 4,000 gallon rate, which is what we're using as the average customer.
So if you raised it more, wouldn't it encourage people to tap in and?
Maybe. I don't know. That's a good question.
It's about $5 more than if you use 4,000.
But I mean, if they don't want to pay that,
then they have the other option of tapping in.
Okay.
Or put a meter on.
Yeah, I actually like that idea. I don't know why
we found. We found in Bourbon we did that. Mm-hmm. But we had houses in town that had wells, yeah. And the people who complained found out after we put the meter on, they was using more water than what it was, you know, being built for.
Does that affect your meters when it's a well?
Huh?
Does that affect your meters when it's a well?
No.
It doesn't cause problems with your meters.
It didn't for us.
I think if we have an option like that, I think it's fine to raise this.
So I think I have to ask the question, even though it's probably not very good, very politically sound, but does it make sense that if... I don't even know if we can do this, and since Marsha's not here, I'd hate to throw it out. But does it make sense that if individuals are on our sewer utility, but not our water utility, that we mandate in some way that their water is metered? I don't know if we can even do that.
I don't think you can unless their well goes bad. Is that right?
Well,
it's not like the sewer where you can make.
We had a lot of people complain and say, well, we're paying more than what we need to. So, well, if that's what the way you feel, let's put a meter in there, then you'll pay for what you use. Well, what they found out was some of them was using more water than what they thought.
How do we take reads? Because our meters are still radio read?
They'd be the same meters.
Okay.
You just don't bill them for the water. You use that for the sewer only.
Okay.
I think mandating it is another issue.
Yeah. So. Well, and again, I just throw it out as, yeah. You know, if we're looking at fairness, I just,
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I think it's something to consider later on. You know.
Well, I think people are kind of shocked at how much water they actually do use.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, away from
there. So who paid for those meters? Like, did the city pay for those meters? Or who paid for those meters on their wells?
Sewage.
Well,
we
do.
You do?
Well,
you're saying in Bourbon. In Bourbon.
In Bourbon, the water and sewer both pay for the meters.
Okay.
Yeah. And they currently share the cost of them anyway.
I'd be more than happy to give them up to my share.
I'll give you money.
So,
my money.
So, what?
Want to increase it at the same percentage.
I guess that's a big question that you all need to answer. If we're going to move forward, we need to know which way to move forward. So unless you're going to tie it direct, you could tie it directly to whatever the 4,000 gallon is as our average, and you could just say whatever 4,000 gallons equals for the regular resident equals that for the flat rate. You could do that too, and maybe, I mean. I don't know. I just throw that as another option. So then it ends up being by the end of 2017, it would be then $68 for 4,000 gallons.
So that basically
increased by basically 13 bucks and 12 pounds. Mm-hmm. I throw it out as another option. I'm sorry, was there a comment from the peanut gallery? No? Okay, I thought I heard something.
That was me that said.
Oh, okay, sorry, Chase. What did you say?
I don't know if I was listening to it or not. All right, do you charge the, we have a misunderstanding, do you charge like the big like companies that use the city water, like SDI, 80/20? Mm-hmm.
Anybody that's connected to our sewer system, we charge
them all flat rate. Or
no.
Charge them by usage?
No, we charge them by usage. But we're saying residents that aren't connected to our water system, but are connected to our sewer system, they're the ones that pay this flat rate. So.
I don't know what the
other. So, I guess that's what I'm asking. There looks. It sounds like maybe there's a couple of different options there, and I just throw it out as discussion points, but. Do you want that flat rate to go based on the percentage increases that are going to the other customers, or do you want to just tie it directly to our average customer of 4,000 gallons?
We're talking about a difference of 78 cents, basically. 14% of 55 is $7.70.
Okay.
I'd say if we're going to do percentages, if we're going to use percentages like for SDI and everything, we should use it for this, too.
Okay.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
I got three uh-huhs, so Ben, do you have a thought, Pete?
I still think it's a huge increase.
I agree.
I have to look at that. I think it is a pretty big increase.
Especially for people that aren't using the system.
Yes.
Well, for those that aren't using the system, I absolutely agree. For those that are using a system, it's just, and that's why I put on there, it's really hard to quantify if, you know, for the, for a, let's say, two-person older household, they're probably barely using 2,000 gallons,
right. Yeah.
Which is half or less of what this rate is. But
how many people do we actually have in that situation?
I knew you were going to ask that question.
Yeah, and I didn't get that report, man. That's not very many. It's okay. So if you went with 4,000 gallons,
the flat at 4,000?
Yeah. Yep. $50 that it is now.
Yep.
It'd make it from $55.55 to $57.
That's correct.
No, not $7. Oh, yeah, $57. Right.
If they tied it to the 4,000.
Right.
Yeah, it'd be $57 and I'm out paying $55.55.
So it'd be about
$2
in
the first year.
The first year.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it would just basically what Rosie's saying is that it would go from the 55.55. And then it'd follow our schedule for 4,000 gallons. So for 2015, it would only be an increase of, you know, a little under $2. Right? Yeah. A little under $2. So $1.45. That's right there. Versus.
And then it would go to the percent like everybody else's.
Well, then it would be the same percentage as everybody else's. Yeah. So you tie it basically directly to the 4,000 gallons. It'd probably make it easier for her office, but I mean, I do agree with Ben. it's a large increase for individuals who don't use anything, who don't contribute to the system. Now, granted, it is a large number of individuals. Isn't that what you just said, Rosie?
It's not a whole lot. I'd say there's more probably in Westgate than any, mm-hmm. and then out on Lingley East. I mean, everybody else pretty much is.
Yeah. So, just a side note, I mean, if somebody wanted to, if they weren't connected right now to our water or sewer system, or either or, if they wanted to get connected, they would come in currently, they'd pay their area connection fee, they'd pay their tap fee, and then they'd also hire a contractor to get that connection taking place. Which can be a little salty, obviously, especially with the area connection fee on there, but...
I don't have a problem eliminating that.
Okay.
To me, that makes sense. I guess it.
No, is that all future projects or just the ones?
I would say just the ones that are current, that are right now, that we have on board right now. So anything in the future, if we, I'm just going to throw something. If we extended utilities out south on 9 to some area out there, there would be obviously an area connection fee out there. But that would be one page in your book compared to the. I bet you have 25 different sections easy there.
Oh, it's more than that.
Yeah, whereas different fees based on that.
Do we have a time limit on that area connection fee?
We can't, sure.
Otherwise, so we don't run into, like, Westgate being on there for 20 years, you put it on there for, I don't know, yeah.
And that would be, yeah. If we extended those utilities out to wherever that would be, then we would have that. I mean, then we could place a timeline on that. Now,
so if everybody knows that, they're just going to wait.
That's what I was just
going to
say. The other end of the spectrum is that they say, well, I'll just wait 20 years until this is over, and then I'll. But.
I see most of these places were given the option. If they connected within, I can't remember now, off the top of my head, I'm going to say 2 years. If everybody connected, they were able to connect at a very low rate. But if they didn't, then from then on, they were going to pay the same as everybody else. And the biggest share of them did connect to both water and sewer.
Well, are there a lot of people that are in the situation where they're not using the system at all? But
there's
we're charging
a handful of them.
A handful.
What does that mean? If you could just
quantify. Well, I'd say, I'm just
throw out a number.
Okay, throw out a number. Between 10 and 20.
Okay.
Households, not individuals. Households.
And why are they? I mean,
and how does that happen?
Yeah, why are they paying that? What mandates that they pay that fee?
Because there's the sewer, and I'm just going to use Westgate for an example because she was here. The sewer runs right in front of her property, within 300 feet.
And that's the state.
And that's a mandated that if it is within 300 feet, you have to connect, or according to our policy, you have to pay this. The
flat rate.
Is it our policy or the state mandate?
Them having to either connect or pay the flat fee, that is state mandated. The flat fee is our. Of course, that's our decision. And I think a lot of that has to do with the state saying, well, it's probably better if there's sewer available for people to connect to a sanitary sewer versus connecting to or having their own septic system.
And because they are within 300 feet, if their sewer goes bad or their septic goes bad, they have no choice.
They're forced.
Uh-huh. Same way if their well goes bad.
Okay, now I guess I'm confused.
Okay.
The who mandated that they pay the flat fee? Was that the city or the state?
The state mandates that they pay.
They have to connect if they're within 300 feet, or
Or we can charge them.
Yes.
And then we decided to charge people who didn't.
What rate to charge?
Okay.
That's been forever. As long as I've been here, that's been forever. We've charged people.
I know what you're thinking. Might as well say it.
I don't understand why we're charging people that aren't using the system.
I think a part of that, and again, I'm not defending or saying I wasn't here, but my guess is that was to encourage them to be a part of the system. Obviously, when you live in the city, being a part of the city includes being on our utilities and, you know, getting our police and fire service and so on and so forth. My assumption is, again, it's an assumption, but my assumption is part of the reason why that was put into place there is to encourage individuals to be a part of that system.
And I'm not so sure it's not a law. They actually charge.
Yeah. If Marsha was here, she'd be able to tell us better. And actually, I can probably, if you want me to, actually, I'll have Rosie do it because you know this better than I do, but. Can you have Marsha send this common council maybe an overview of that law,
mm-hmm.
As to what, because I think it does say we have to charge them something, and I want to say it's at least the minimum charge, but I don't know.
And that's the problem, or that's why out there at Westgate or Wessing, that they're making them hook up because the sewer is out there.
And it's bad. I mean, the septics are bad out there.
They don't have a choice.
Well, and that's a different issue, but if in fact we're charging people that aren't using the system, and we're not required to do that, that might be something that we should take another look at. Is, I mean, they're not utilizing at all.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, it's not working as an incentive to get them to sign up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although there's not many people. I mean. There's not many people that are like that, but as a part of that, not that it means anything, but I'm going to throw it out there because I'm thinking it, is that, you know, if the city's always has kind of used that as leverage in the past to say you need to get connected, and lots of people did get connected for that reason, and now the city backs off and says, well, we're not going to do that anymore, that's not that it's going to matter that big a deal, but I'm just saying that's another thing aside from pictures.
Well, I mean, they have a... I think people have an incentive to hook to a sewer system.
Oh, absolutely.
Anyway.
Absolutely.
So, you know, punitive incentive doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me, but that's just my thought on it.
So, so why don't I do this? Marcia is out this week, but actually she did say she'd be available by phone, but I don't know if we want to give her a call, but... Yeah, but what I can do is I can get with Marcia. I can at least send an email, or Rosie and I can send an email to Marcia regarding what the law, so basically a law overview.
And I can see Buzz or somebody, and they can tell me in a second.
Okay.
Tomorrow, but, and I've probably got it in here, it's just I gotta find it. And I raise.
Okay, so we can check into that, though. I don't think it's necessarily a bad discussion to have. I mean, I don't want to discourage the discussion. It just,
well,
but I think that there's something with the law that does mandate we charge something. But anyways,
I mean, if part of the problem with raising the flat fee, the same percentage as our other users, is that there's people that pay the flat fee that don't use the system at all, and we're going to increase that.
Yeah.
Then that should be looked at.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Okay, so then as a follow-up to that, it sounds like at least we're all in agreement about eliminating the area connection fees. Does that sound?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean.
Okay, so at least that part is okay. What about the tap fees? I hate to be tedious about this, but...
How does that compare to other communities?
We can give you a better idea, but I think at the very least, the 5/8 inch, I think it does need to go up to 1,000 to match it, at least match the water, when you think about infrastructure.
Unless we're terribly overcharging people to tap into water.
Yeah, but I don't think that's the case, but I can check into that more if you'd like. That's
I think what you've got to look at is what it takes to actually do that.
Well, if
any more of the cost of equipment.
But I don't know that.
I think it's pretty easy to eat up $1,000 with that. Quite honestly, we're not making a killing on it.
Well, no, but I mean, again, we're talking about raising it $500, mm-hmm. And I don't know what it costs to put it in.
Well, it's not so much to put it in as the maintenance of it, because that's where we're having problems right now. I mean, somebody hooks up to our sewer. And you're trying to maintain it over the years, and that's what this is paying for. And to tap into it, we mainly go out and inspect it, but they have to pay that tap fee to hook onto our sewer because of what they're going to be using it for.
Kelly, you're the one that kind of maintains the sewer lines throughout town. You get to see I mean, you get to see the taps, and you get to see those kind of things. I mean, do you have any thoughts, opinions on this deal? I mean,
not really. I mean, other than the fact that, like some of those you talked about, I don't know that we let them hook up force main.
Yeah, so if it's a forced main, you can't hook into it.
Yeah, so if they got a forced main, it's technically a sanitary sewer, but we don't allow them to hook to it because there's too many potential
things. I would think back blow. Or
yeah,
blow
we are.
I
mean,
blow
went
back.
Before
those words.
We don't allow them.
Yeah, that was discussed a long time ago.
Yeah.
Whoever was on before, that's it stopped, and there's no... So... I don't know how all that plays into this. Whether they're hooked to the water, but not the sewer, but there's a sewer in front of their house.
It depends. Is it a gravity sewer? Is it a forced main? Yeah. It's a forced main. They're not hooking it.
Yeah. And see, that's what happened. The one was hooked in. That was complained.
To a forced main?
That was before
that
we
was long. Yeah, that was before the ordinance.
Yeah.
Forced.
Gotcha.
we're not charging somebody a flat fee because the sewer system they can't hook into is in front of their house, are we?
No, I don't think that's the case.
Okay.
I don't think that's the case.
No. That's only a certain area. And there is a different. I'm sorry, I forgot about this. But there is a different flat rate for rural users versus city users.
And it's more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I thought that's what we had gotten grandfathered in because the legislature decided to overstep their boundaries again. So, sorry, I'm getting real snarky here. I should stop that. Okay, so I guess let me ask this. Here's what I have down as my homework, or I'm going to share it with my compadre down the room here. You'd like to know how our tap fees compare to other communities. I'm assuming similar in size. Getting with Marsha or Buzz or whoever to give us kind of an overview of the sewer line law, about 300 feet within the property line or within the property. Ask about the prepaid option, if that's even an option at all. I'll ask both Buzz and Umbaugh about that as well as... I don't remember what this rate thing is, but... Oh, see if there's any updates and rates any more than I've found up to this point. Generally speaking, 765. Okay. Got enough head shakes that I'll move forward with that. So it's really these last two items, the tap fees and the flat rate, is what I hear. Okay, did we decide one way or another if we wanted to lock it to the 4,000 gallon rate? Or if we wanted to increase it at the same percentage as the rest of the rates?
I personally don't like the percentage rate.
Well, the only difference would be the first year, because after that it's going to increase.
At the same percentage. Yeah, the first year will be...
only a couple bucks.
A couple bucks.
One, but when you're looking at $13 or $14 on top of that, which isn't what we're looking at here...
Actually, what they would be going up, theoretically, they'd be going up more because they're starting from a different spot.
Right. There's a lot of people out there, big families that have some of these subdivisions. They're only using 2,000 gallons. I don't know.
I can give you a list of how many are on that
family. I just think that's probably terrible to senior citizens that are out there only using a couple thousand and the others still out there.
The difference would be everybody else would go up $7 and they go up $7.77 mm-hmm. or 78 cents.
Well, I thought it was somebody saying we went up 12 or 13.
No. Mm-hmm.
Well,
overall.
But everybody's is.
Right.
Well, okay. Well.
But their percentage or their dollar amount will be slightly larger than the average 4,000 mm-hmm. gallon household.
Mm-hmm. I guess I don't have that much of a problem with that.
Okay. So ours everybody's going up 7, theirs will go up 778 probably because it's 7.7777.
Unless we back it off and base it on
the 4,000 gallons.
Right.
Like they're talking about
so they get like a 1 year reprieve and then.
I guess I don't like that.
I just think that if we're going to raise it for one citizen, 14%, it should be the same for everybody.
Can I play devil's advocate?
Sure.
Okay. I think if you want to raise the flat rate, I would really encourage you to go with the flat 4,000, to tie it to the 4,000, because if you try to do it at a percentage, you're going to have winners and losers. There's winners and losers in this deal, and I get that. But if you tie it at least to the 4,000, then there's at least some justification in regards to, you know, we consider the average household being 4,000 gallons. You know, because we can't base if you're a big user or a small user, we have to go off of the average user, and so that's the 4,000 gallons. And that way, at least, it'll be actually cleaner as well for Rosie's office, too. That's just my suggestion.
I like Mike's suggestion that if they really want to get serious about it, we'll put a meter on their
well. And you know what? If you want to make that an option, I think we can at least investigate it between Mike and Rosie and I. We can at least investigate putting that meter on their well and seeing what, you know, and basing it off of that. But I think that would probably need to be a separate written agreement that, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, because they could be dumping 10,000 gallons a month down the sewer, and they're only paying for 5.
True.
What was the reason for them to pay higher than the average to begin with?
I'm sorry.
The flat rate users, what was the justification for them to pay more than the average user?
I don't know.
I thought it was like maintenance because the dry time or something had to be fixed.
I think it was mainly because you could not judge what people were using. And 9 times out of 10, they had a family. And if they've got a family of 3 or 4, they're probably using 6 or 7 thousand. It just depends, you know. So they probably figured, well, they need to pay a little bit more because they are metered and they don't use their water. But I can't tell you that for sure.
So I don't think if the difference is not very substantial, I for clerical reasons at the very least, my suggestion would be to just tie it to the 4,000 gallons as our average user. Purely for, I mean, like I said, at the very least for clerical reasons, but really more for saying because we don't know if you're using this much or this much, we'll pop you in the middle. And that's the 4,000 gallon rate.
But then it would go up the percentages.
So the first year it would go up and match the 57,
mm-hmm.
and then following years it would follow the schedule as presented by EMBA. So we still have some work to do, it sounds like, before the next meeting. At least we have kind of some general idea for the first two items. The last two items we'll keep working on. There's, like I said, there's homework. I will try to get that sent out as soon as I can. And get that tweaked, but I appreciate at least we're making headway on this. I know it's not a fun topic. I know our department heads have sat through a lot of these discussions, and you all have as well. But not our fault, is our problem. So, okay, we good? We put that one to bed. I'm so sorry. Okay. Department head reports. Sean?
We continue to hook up new services. Chesapeake area out there. That's where we're changing. We have new services out there. Had several meetings with multiple types of businesses about expanding or moving or adding, so that's encouraging.
Questions of Sean? Thank you, Sean. Mark?
This is our homecoming week at the school, so a lot of the schools, all of your schools, are doing a penny collection for the Every Kid's Dreamland playground. And I just was at the volleyball game tonight, and they're taking collections there. And also tomorrow at Bruja, 75 cents of every drink that's purchased goes toward Kids Dreamland. So there's a lot going on. I have no idea until next week how much we'll raise through this, but it was really neat to be at the game tonight and see the Dazzlers perform before the gym, the varsity game, and to hold up a banner and say it's almost built our park. It was pretty cool. So neat opportunity to see that. JFL and cheerleading still going on Saturdays. Then we still have baseball, softball games on Sundays. We're still mowing a lot. We cut down one of the two dead trees at Kids Dreamland, and when that wood's all removed, we cut down the other one, which is a lot bigger. And then our Mother's Son event is a Halloween party, October 17th, and we're selling tickets for that, $10 a ticket. And they're starting to really sell like crazy. It was a busy afternoon for me. And it'll be really fun. I think the kids, the boys, will really enjoy it. It's not scary stuff, but it's kind of the gross stuff that they'll like, I think. And the monster competition.
Yeah.
So a bunch of different games. We've got several different companies that help sponsor this. And so it's a very neat event. We've never done it before, where we've done something with the mothers and the sons like this. So that's coming up October 17th.
Questions of Mark? Thank you, Mark. Mike?
We got probably six more new services to hook up in the next week or so. And we're getting closer to Red River.
Still on Elm Street? You're still on Elm Street?
No.
Red River.
That's one way of putting it. I'm still on Elm Street.
Questions to Mike? Thank you,
Kevin,
Mike.
I'll help you with the street games.
Tom?
Last weekend, our golf outing was very successful. We had 17 teams go through it. The final numbers aren't in, but I know we did very well, so that's a good thing. October 11th, mark calendars. Again, it's the Chiefs Association's Hog Roast and Page's Open House. It's free to the public, and come out and play and drink Big Mary. It's a good opener to the city's fall festival, or at the mayor's fall festival.
No, the Main Street Association's fall festival.
Ours is from 11 to 3, and the mayor's fall festival starts at 3. So, and then rest of the evening.
He really likes his job.
Other than that, Kyle Francis is still planning on doing a firefighter 1-2. The sign up for that is on the state's website to get the that certification process, and it's open for anybody through the state. So that will be happening in our firehouse starting in October and then running for 6 months. It takes 6 months to do that class. So. Other than that.
Questions of Tom? Thank you, Tom. Kelly?
If you haven't noticed, uptown the crosswalk, there's bricks. There's a lot of them that are broken and missing. Tony and Jason have been working on this area around Market and Chauncey, and they're doing a great job.
Yeah.
As soon as they get those done, they're going to move over to Chauncey and Van Buren, and then we'll see where we're at, maybe on take a look at maybe Main and Market then and see what we can do over there. Other than that, Lincoln Point, if you haven't been out in that area, they got a new section going on out there. The sewer is all in right now. We're doing testing on it, and Wigeons have hired us to do the televising after the testing's complete. And we've been doing some jetting and root cutting around different sewer lines in the area. Graded all the berms and the alleys, and our last limb pickup is October the 6th, the week of October 6th. And Canic's been getting our leaf machines ready, and leaf pickup will start October 27th. That's all I have.
Questions of Kelly? Thank you, Kelly. Tim?
Two new officers continue to train with field training officers, and we are putting them with other officers on the shifts as well. After this week, they will then switch, so Scott Funtick will go to thirds, and Ray Carpenter will come to seconds. Training with the trainers and officers on those shifts. Next week, we have three officers going to car seat specialist training. We have one officer currently that's certified in that, so when they get back, we'll have two more. I'm working on assigning officers to numerous events. I think almost every weekend in October, there's some kind of event going on, so we'll get that covered. And we're getting ready to do a firearms training and defensive tactics training coming up in the next couple weeks. That's it.
Questions of Tim. Thank you, Tim. Jeff?
I sent out a written report earlier. If there's no questions on that, the only addition I might have is that downtown now has one less building. And if you haven't gone by the former Eagles lot, it looks a lot better. To say that, so had real good luck with the contractor, and there was one small incident, but aside from that, went really, really well. So that's all I've got.
Questions of Jeff. Thank you, Jeff. Terry.
We'll be taking down our servers tomorrow night around 5 o'clock. We're going to be doing some upgrading to the virtual servers. Hopefully, they'll only be down for about an hour or so. It'll be after hours. Hopefully, it won't affect much. That's all I have, really.
Questions of Terry. Thank you, Terry. Mike?
I attended a two-day conference in Fort Wayne last week and got some information on phosphorus and some other things that they were talking about. I've taken down a primary tank, and our main primary and also an aeration tank, and done inspections on those for the year, and they turned out very well. My guys are doing a fantastic job of keeping the equipment up. I can tell by the amount of debris that was in the tank when we took it down, it was very minimal. That's about it. Yeah.
Questions of Mike. Thank you, Mike. Chase, you want to introduce yourself and tell you what the Youth Council did?
I'm Chase Howard. I'm one of the students on the Mayhead Youth Council. We don't know, we've been working on the Halloween parade that we're sponsoring and helping run the mayor. Last time that we were here, we went and cleaned up the downtown squares. Inside the trees where all the trees are, and picked out all the weeds that are around the sidewalks. I have some stuff that if you guys want to look or ask questions about the Halloween parade, you might ask me. I'm just the chair of the logistics committee, so I have all the logistics stuff, the sponsorships, and the I can't remember the other board name.
Outreach, yeah. Logistics, and publicity.
Yeah, so publicity and outreach I don't have. I can do the basic information with logistics I can give you there. So.
It'll be November 1st, is that right?
Yes.
I have a word now.
Brochure.
Thank you. Sorry. A brochure that we have made. If you would like to see, I can show you guys. I have a map of what roads will be closed and how things will be set up. If you want to look at that as well.
Sure. Thanks.
You want to do that?
I do it after. That's fine. Thank you.
Other questions? Did you talk about your service project?
Yep.
Okay, I'm sorry, I missed that. Okay. Rosie? Jackie? Gotta come up with news sometime.
I know.
A couple of things that are happening, just or happened or happening, just so you know. Mayors and Commissioners Caucus is kind of going full bore now. There's been some really interesting developments regarding the business personal property tax elimination. There's a Blue Ribbon panel right now that is discussing that at the legislature, and is the first. They have three meetings. The first meeting was by, we'll say, anti-tax groups mainly. Although John Sampson from the Regional Partnership was there and just talked about how the county by county elimination would pit us all against one another, which is kind of destroys everything we've been trying to do up here in Northeast Indiana. Plus, you probably also heard that Fort Wayne was listed as, I think it was 11th, top 15 places of opportunity in the United States by Forbes. That's a big deal. That's a big deal for our region, and I think a lot of the collaboration that's happening there. Friday, Marcia and Sean and I and George Shrump went to a golf outing in Kokomo that was for the Trust Local campaign, which is kind of a neat thing of basically helping our legislature understand that, you know, it's okay for us to make some decisions at the local level. They don't have to legislate top down. And let's see. Jeff Walker and Mike Shoda and I had some meetings about stormwater, the transition stormwater from community development over to the water department, and how that would all take place, what the different pieces were there. So that's all good stuff. I did have a windshield drive around with Greg Wagner regarding a couple of properties that I thought were in need of some repair and issues there. So hopefully I haven't ticked off too many people in that. And I would invite you all next Wednesday morning at 7 a.m. to, if you've not gotten the invite yet, to Parkview Whitley Hospital. They are doing a visioning session, if you will, for regarding kind of how we market ourselves, the Our Story campaign, if you've heard that, kind of how we market ourselves as a region. So, there's something going on in the back? Okay.
I'm just laughing at all their faces. Yeah. I don't even know what's going on.
Yeah. Must be an inside joke. So anyways, long story short is, Jackie, you were there.
I was there.
And I was there. It was, I thought, a very neat experience. So I would invite you to attend that as well. Besides that, I'm good. A lot of things happening. We're real close to starting the comp plan. So, Dan?
Absolutely.
Ben? Cool. Bill? Press? Call the meeting adjourned. Thank you.